Great to have you here today. If we haven't met, I'm Mark. I'm one of the pastors here at C3 and want to welcome those of you that are in person in the newly done West Venue. Great to have you here today. Woo! And I want to welcome all of you that are at home right now watching online. It's so great to have you with us as well. Hey, here's what we're doing. Last week, we started a series, and we're going to go through the rest of January, talking about knowing God. And we're talking about, if you know God, how do you get to know him better? And if you don't know God, but you're wanting to know God, this series is going to help you as well. We want to help people get to know God for a first time, or maybe get to know God even better. And today is what we're going to talk about, something that many people feel like they don't do well at, and it's prayer. Let me ask you a question. Do you feel like that your prayer life needs a boost? Don't raise your hand, but just answer it inside. Do you feel like that your prayer life needs a boost? I'm a pastor, and I even think I need to have a boost. We need to be always praying, and we're going to talk about that and what this actually looks like. But today, I want us to think about prayer, and I want us to actually look at it very simplistically. There's a lot of things that we could do. Like last week, we talked about being in God's Word. But if you were here last week, online or in person, I told you that I'm going to talk very simplicity, and I want to make it tangible, something that we can apply to our life. And so that's what I'm hoping we're going to do today as we talk about prayer. So let's take a look at some stuff about prayer. And if you want to take notes, if you have the C3 app, or if you don't, you can download the C3 Tri-Cities app, and you can find our notes right there, and you can take notes anytime you want. But let's take a look at some stuff about this. Why is it so many people don't pray or have a great prayer life? Why is that? Why is it that so many people don't pray or they don't have a great prayer life? So we're going to look at a few things. One of them is this. One of the reasons why people don't have it is that because we're not sure how to pray, right? We're not sure how to pray. We kind of think, can I pray for that? Can I pray for this issue over here? Or did I pray too long? Or did I pray too short? I mean, was God listening to me? I mean, you know, think about this. There is, I mean, I don't know the exact number, but I think it's around like 6 billion people on the planet. You know, with 6 billion people on the planet, and let's say even a third of them are praying, you're talking 2 billion people talking to God at the same time. You know, can God even listen to me? I mean, there's all these people. I mean, how do I pray? You know, is it okay to pray for this? Is God even listening to me? All this kind of stuff. So we kind of struggle with this a little bit. But let me give you another one. Another one is this. We get distracted while we're praying. Can I tell you, as a pastor, I do this, right? I will pray at different times of the day. And oftentimes I'll be praying. And I'll be praying about something that is sincere on my heart. And I'm pouring out my heart to God. And all of a sudden, as I'm praying, it's like, squirrel. And then I'm over here. And I'm just like totally going a different direction. Does anybody else have the squirrel problem during prayer? Okay, thank you. That's not just me. Okay. We all do that, right? We're pouring out our heart. We're just crying out to God maybe. And then all of a sudden something takes our thoughts away and we go that direction. And I'll be honest with you. There have been times where that squirrel took me away and I was gone for a while. And then God reminds me, oh, I was praying. And he brings me right back. And I felt so embarrassed. It's just like if you're talking to somebody on the phone, right? You're talking to a friend on the phone. And then all of a sudden, you're talking to somebody else over here. And the person on the phone's going, hello? Hello? What? Who are you talking to? I mean, it's just kind of weird. That's what we do with God when we have that squirrel thing when we're praying. But that is something that oftentimes I think all of us deal with that. Let me give you another one. Another reason why people don't pray is this. We think our requests are too small for God. Don't raise a hand, but just ask yourself. Have you ever thought that? My request is just too small. I mean, God just wants to take care of the big things. God wants to take care of the really important things, not these little tiny things. I mean, God's probably thinking, that's a little tiny thing. You can figure that out yourself. That's what we think. But sometimes we don't want to give it the little things to God because we think, well, God doesn't need to do that. I should be able to figure that out. Let me give you another one. Another reason why we don't pray. We're not sure our prayers will make a difference. There's been times where you have prayed. There have been times when you at home have prayed. And when you have prayed, sometimes it didn't seem to happen. Or at least didn't happen the way you want it to be. And so you're going, so why pray? I mean, it doesn't make a difference. I mean, I prayed for somebody to get well. They didn't get well. What's the difference? These are reasons. Let's be honest. These are reasons why we don't pray. Or we don't pray well. Or we don't pray often. But yet, I want to tell you what prayer is. And here is what prayer is. Prayer is simply communicating with God. That's all it is. It is simply communicating with God. And for some reason, many people on the planet, many Christians, people who call themselves followers of Jesus Christ, do not pray. But I'm going to tell you, prayer is simply communicating with God. Did you know that the King of the universe, the God that created everything and spoke you and I into being, this God has given you at home and you us here in person, he has given us the ability to come literally into the throne room of grace by prayer. When you pray, now think about this. When you pray, your prayers are ascending into the throne room of God. God is allowing you and me and everybody else on the planet, if they want to take advantage of it, to literally come before the throne of God and talk to him. Amazing. Just stop and think about that. Next time you pray, which I hope it's sometime today, that you will actually think as you are praying, I am literally right now speaking to the throne room of God. Wow. That is an amazing gift. God didn't have to do that. Why did he do it? Because he loves us. He wants a relationship with us. He wants us to talk to him. He wants to talk to us. He allows this. And this is one of the most amazing things that he's ever done. And yet people do not take advantage of it. Why? Well, it's because of those four things we just talked about. We don't think it makes a difference. We think it's too small. All these different things. Let me give you a verse. This is David in Psalms. In Psalms, David was King David. Here's what he says. He says, give ear to me. Give ear to my words, oh God. Now, listen. What he's basically saying is he's saying, give ear to me. In other words, God, listen to me. God, listen to me. Wow. Give ear to my words, oh Lord. Consider my sighing. Consider my sighing. Now, listen. I thought about this word. You know, there's two different ways you can sigh. You can sigh where you're like upset, like, ugh. You ever done one of those? It's like, ugh. And then have you ever done one where it's like a good sigh? It's like, ugh. Kind of like after a good meal, right? Like after Thanksgiving, right? It's like, ugh. Now, some people after Thanksgiving go, ugh. I mean, but it could go either way, right? It could go either way. What I want you to see is David is saying, give ear to my words. Listen to me, God. Consider my sighing. In other words, what he is saying is, God, I don't even have to say words. I can just grunt. I can just make a noise. And you know and you understand what I mean. You know my struggles. You know my issues. I can just sigh. And you know what I mean. Can I tell you, I never thought about this before, but can I tell you, I believe even just sighing to God is a prayer. It could be, oh, God, I've got problems, I've got issues, or it could be, oh, thank you, God. Thank you for what you've done. It could be, help me, or thank you for already helping me. Sighing can actually be a form of prayer. Listen to my cry, goes on. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. David is acknowledging that God is the God of the universe, and he knows everything, and he listens to our prayers, and he knows us, listen, intimately. David had an intimate relationship with God. Why? Because of his prayer life. You can have, we can have, an amazing intimate relationship with the God of the universe through prayer. If we take advantage of it. If we live that way. This is what God has called us to do. God has called us to listen. God has called us to pray. God has called us to speak to him in the good times and the bad times. So a lot of times, you know what we do? We never pray, a lot of people do not pray until they have an issue. Can I tell you, if the only time you call me is when you got an issue, I'm going to get tired of taking your phone call, right? I want to hear about your good days. I want to hear what's been great about your life. I want to hear about what God's done good in your life. That's what he wants to hear. I mean, yes, we talk about both, but so often, why do we always talk about all the junk over here? God, I need you to fix it all, but we never say thank you for what he did over here. This is what God wants us to do. Pray on both sides. And then it goes on. This is what David says. David goes, says, in the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. Now stop and think about this. All the people at that time on the planet, and here is David praying in the morning. He says, you hear my voice. Out of all of the people that were on the planet at that time, God heard his voice. Stop and think about that. God hears your voice. God hears our voice, but I want to bring it down to you. God hears your voice. When you pray, yes, there's 6 billion people on the planet. Maybe a third of them are praying at the same time, but God hears your voice. Out of all of the people that are praying at that time, God is hearing your voice. And stop and think about this. Here's what we sometimes think. Okay, if he's got like, let's say 2 billion people that are praying at the same time, I've got just like 0.0000% of his attention. No. He is God. You have 100% of his attention. Just like the other 2 billion people are praying, he's got 100% for them as well. God can listen to you and me and everybody else at the same time. God's just going, wait a minute, I missed what you said because I was listening to this guy over here. That's not what God does. God has 100% with you. He hears your voice. Isn't that amazing? What a gift that God has given us. And we see this through the writings of David. In the morning, O Lord, hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you. I wait, he says. I wait in expectation. I'm waiting because you're going to do something, God. When I pray, this is David saying, when I pray, I'm expecting. I know you're going to do something. You're either going to do what I want you to do, or you're going to do something different, or you're going to do something totally different than I ever thought about. But either way, I know that something's going to happen. There's an expectation that David had about God. When you pray, do you expect God to do something? Or when you pray, is the only thing you expect God to do is nothing? Sometimes God answers it, and the answer is no. Again, last week we talked about this. We talked about that when somebody gets sick and we're praying that God would heal them and stuff, there comes times where God sometimes heals them, but then last week we talked about sometimes God is saying, they are in so much pain, so much issue, I'm going to literally heal them, and he takes them into heaven. And yet that is still an answer. It may not be the answer we wanted, but the reality is that person is healed even better in heaven than what they would be on earth. You see, God answers our prayers one way or another. It may be the way we want, it may not be the way we want, but we expect that he will answer, that he will do something. We expect that. Now I want you to think about, God is our Heavenly Father, right? Scripture tells us that we are his children. If we are followers of Jesus Christ, we are his children, right? Did you know that we don't all pray the same way? And I want to kind of show you that this way, by the way your kids are. If you've got 2, 3, 4 kids or more, you know that when your kids want to talk, different ones do it different ways. You may have a kid that's quiet. And this kid is quiet until like 9 or 10 o'clock at night. And then they get chatty, right? And you know that. And so you know when you want to get some information out of your kid or say, hey, how you doing? What's going on in your life? They're quiet during the day, but 9 or 10 at night, they're just going. So you just know that's how it is. You may have another kid, right, that isn't that way. The other kid is like they like to go for like long walks. And so you go for a walk with them. And when you're walking with them, then they start talking. They start spilling their guts. They start telling you about their struggles that they're dealing with. You maybe have another kid that, you know, while they're doing something, you know, when they're helping around the house, washing the dishes and stuff, and you're coming over there drying them the dishes and stuff, they're talking to you while you're doing stuff together. You see, God knows that we're all different, even in our prayer life. Some of us love to get up early in the morning and pray for long hours or whatever. And some of us pray at night. Some pray in the afternoon. We all do different things because we are different people. God has made us all different. But yet this is how we pray. We pray the way God created us to do. So let's talk about this. And I want to give some real practical stuff here. Four things, four simple ways. Four simple ways to talk to God. Four simple ways to talk to God. Here's the first one. Be honest. Be honest with God. Can I just, in case you haven't figured it out, if you're not being honest with God, he knows, right? You can't fool God. So you might as well, if you're going to pray, you might as well be honest. Be honest with God. Have you ever talked to someone and then hear them pray? I've heard people in my first church that I was in, a kid's pastor, I heard people that were just great people. As we talked, we'd have lunch, we'd share life together. And then I hear them pray. And when I hear them pray, I'm hearing like, oh, grandpa, you know, all this stuff, right? You know, I beseech thee, and I'm like, first of all, we don't speak in King James language, right? And you don't talk that way in normal life, but yet when you talk to God, you talk in this like weird way that isn't real. It's not really honest. It's not really you. But yet, have you ever heard somebody do that, something like that? It's just weird. It's like freaky. And I'm human. I think if I'm God, I'm like, what is that? I mean, what do you... Talk normal, for crying out loud. Talk to me, God, like you would anybody else. But for some reason, we try to put on the act. Try to impress God with the big flowery words and all this different stuff. And this is not the way it is. If my daughter came up to me, oh, grand, beautiful father, give us this day a new car. I'm going to say, you're walking. I mean, you're not getting a car. What are you talking about? Who are you? Because you don't talk like that. Be honest. Be real with God. That's what we are to do. But for some reason, we just aren't that way. Let me give you a verse in Exodus. In Exodus 5, it says this, "Oh Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people?" This is, by the way, this is Moses. Moses was very honest. He wasn't trying to sugarcoat things. He was upset with God. And here's what he says, "Oh Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? Is that why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon this people. And you, God, have not rescued your people at all." And some of you right now at home or in person right now are going, "Can I say that to God? Can I call God out?" I mean, he's saying to God, "God, you have not rescued your people." Can you say that to God? Apparently you can, because Moses did. And if Moses can do it, guess what? We can do too. See, here's the thing. God wants us to be honest. Even if we're upset with him, God's got big shoulders. You're not going to be the first one that got mad at God, and you're not going to be the last one. We get upset at God sometimes because we don't think he did what we wanted him to do. And God's got big enough shoulders, and he goes, "Okay, we'll walk through this together." He doesn't leave us. God doesn't get mad and stomp out and walk away. Instead, he goes, "We'll work with this together." Because he loves you. Because he's a father and you're his child. And that's why we pray, and we pray honestly. You know, there's only two things that Jesus really criticized about people's prayers. One of the things he criticized about people's prayers was this, is when they were too lengthy for show purposes. There were people back then that would just love to pray. Let me give you a little verse here about this. Well, first, let me give you a second one first. The second one is this, and then also when they're not authentic. So people who pray for show, basically, and people who are not authentic. Now let me give you a couple of verses here. In Matthew 6:5, here's what it says. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues," which basically would say church, "and on the street corners to be seen by man." In other words, they were praying big flowery words on the street corners and in the church so everybody could see their prayers and hear their prayers and show how spiritual they were. But to God, they were not spiritual. So that's one of the things we see is that Jesus just really came down on people that were doing too lengthy prayers and trying to be all flowery and special just for show. And then the other one is this, is that not being authentic. And Jesus also even kind of talks about that. He says, "When you pray, do not keep on babbling. Can you see God up there? I can just see, well, when somebody's just going on and on, I can just see Jesus kind of pulling over one of the angels and going, "Blah, blah, 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 blah." Yeah. "Do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words." In other words, God's kind of like us. Just get to the point. Don't talk for 3 hours. Just tell me, what is it? Too many words. It's interesting. Those are the things that came out from Jesus. Now, here's something else. Talk to God about what matters to you. Think about what matters to you. What right now is on your heart? What is a struggle? What is something that matters? Is it your kid going sideways? Is it your marriage? Is it maybe your business is shut down during the pandemic? Is it somebody's health issue that you love? What is it? What is it that matters to you? Because if it matters to you, guess what? It matters to God. And God wants you to speak that to him. It says in Philippians, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in," how many things?
Everything.
Oh, everything, yeah. "In everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." So hold on here. God says, you can tell me anything. Everything you want to tell me. Prayer and petition, thanksgiving. Can I remind us to always thank God? We often ask God for stuff, but then when God helps with whatever prayers he answers, do we ever thank him? Or do we just go moving right on to the next thing that's an issue? We need to thank God. I've shared with you in the past how basically almost every day I thank God for something. God, thank you for a roof over my head. Thank you for a bed. Thank you for covers. Thank you for a pillow. Thank you for heat in the house when it's cold and air conditioning in the summer. Thank you for food. Thank you for clean water. All these things. Because I have been in a place in the world where people don't have those things. And I do not want to take advantage of that. God, thank you. Thank you for answering my prayer this last time. Thank you, God. Thanksgiving, that's what he's telling us to do. With thanksgiving, that will show God that we care. Prayer and petition. Now, I did a little thing in the Bible. I was trying to look through the Bible and see, what did people pray for? Now, this is not an exhaustive report, but let me just give you a few things in Scripture that people prayed for. Children, wisdom, water, meaning of a weird dream. I had that last time. Proof God wanted them to do something. A spouse, forgiveness, rain, problems to go away, boldness. Now, that's not baldness. It's boldness, okay? All right, just want to make sure you're reading that right. Okay. But these are just a few things that the people in the Bible prayed for. I mean, you can see it's just a whole bunch of stuff. Guess what? You can do that too. If God is allowing people to pray about anything and everything, he allows you to pray about anything and everything. He wants to hear from you. He wants you to know him. I mean, I remember, I probably shared this at some other message sometime. I can't remember, but when my daughter was 7, she really wanted a puppy. And I said, no puppy. And so she, doggone it, as a pastor, you know, I'm teaching my kid how to pray. And for the one time she actually listens, and she starts praying for a puppy. And about, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 months went by. And I get a call one day. And it's my 7-year-old daughter and my wife, and they were at a Walmart somewhere over on 395, I think it was. And they said, there's a lady out here selling puppies, and there's a really cute one. You got to come see. And I said, I do not have to come see that puppy. And so she says, yes, so stupid me. I went over, and it was an adorable little puppy, and we got that puppy. And then I said to my daughter, I said, I do not ever want you to pray for another puppy again, okay? One is enough. But I taught my daughter about prayer at age 7, well, before that, but at age 7, she actually applied it, and she got a puppy. Now, does that mean that God's always going to answer our prayers? No, but it worked for her. Now, and then let's give you another thing. Another thing is this, talk to God continually. Talk to God continually. First Thessalonians says this. Pray how? Continually. Pray continually. Why? Well, when we pray continually, it doesn't mean that we have to pray like from the sun up to sundown. Some people may. That ain't me, and that's probably not you either. But I think we pray differently. I think the way we pray is at spurts during the week. There's a guy named Smith Wigglesworth, or how do you say his last name? Wigglesworth, that's how you say it. And here's what he says. He says, I never pray for more than 20 minutes at a time, but I also never go more than 20 minutes without praying. Can I tell you that's how I pray? I have heard the biggest church is over in Korea, and I forget it's like a million people over there. And the pastor of that church, what I've heard before is that he prays early in the morning for 3 hours. And I'm like, God bless you. That's awesome. That is not me. I'm more like the Smith guy. I'm like, whoa. I will pray for a few minutes, but then I will pray for a few minutes throughout the day. I will pray and thank God for the morning and pray for the day. And then during the day, as I'm coming into the office, I'll pray over the office. And as I meet different staff, I'll just silently kind of pray for them. If I have a meeting or I have a counseling appointment, I'll pray that God would use me to help them with that. And I'll pray on that. On Mondays, we get the report, the prayer report of what people's prayer requests are from today. and we go through that, and I'll pray over each one of those, and I know our staff does that as well. So where there's just prayer throughout the day. It's not the whole day, but it's part of the day. Would that be a way for you to pray? To just start? To just talk a little bit at a time and just do it a few times with God? You see, let me give you an acrostic, something that I came across. It's called PUSH. Pray until something happens. We are to pray until something happens, whether it's what we want or something different. But either way, God answers prayer. That is what he does. And then let me give you one last thing before we wrap up. Last one is this. Listen for God's response. Listen for God's response. Now listen. We understand that prayer is talking to God, but can I also tell you that another part of prayer is listening to God? It's just like, again, when you're talking on the phone. When you talk to somebody on the phone, you talk to them, and then you're quiet, and they talk to you. But for some reason, when we pray, we talk to God, and then we hang up. And God's going, wait a minute, I wanted to say something to you. And I've had this a few times in my life where I have prayed about something and God has shown up. Sometimes I can tell you for a couple different times where I prayed about something and literally the next day I was meeting with a guy and this guy said something that was totally not what we were talking about. But what he said was exactly what I prayed about the day before. And I thought, that's creepy. That's weird. I mean, I knew that had to be God. That was not a coincidence, okay? Can I also tell you that as a pastor, even pastors struggle sometimes with prayer. Let me give you an example. When this church, the pastor before me, when he stepped down, they had a bunch of people here at the church start looking for new pastors. Jason Strickling, who sometimes preaches up here, and him and I were friends, he says, would you just come over and fill the pulpit for a couple weeks? And I said, sure. Just so people can, you know, still have Sunday mornings going and stuff until we find a pastor. And the rule was that anybody who spoke during that time could not be considered for the pastor. And I was fine with that. After the second time I spoke, the search committee asked me if I would throw in my name. I will tell you the truth. The truth was I said no. The reason I said no is because I just didn't want to come to Columbia Community Church. I just didn't. The church was totally different back then. It wasn't my style. It wasn't anything like that. And I said no. Three more times they called. I said no. It was about spring break. My family and I went down to the Oregon coast, and we just got into our hotel, unpacked, and my phone rang. And I answered it, and it was the search committee again. And I told my wife and daughter, I said, why don't you guys go out to the beach? I'll be out in just a little bit. And so I'm listening to them, and they said, we're going to ask you, would you reconsider? And I said, thanks, but no, this is the fifth time. No, I'm not the right guy for you. And as I hung up, after I told them no for the fifth time, God spoke to me. And this is what God said to me. Mark, did you pray about this? I'm a pastor. Mark, did you pray about this? The truth is, I hadn't. I just knew I didn't want to come to this church because it wasn't my style. It wasn't the way that I would run it. And I said, no, God, I haven't prayed about that. He says, so then God speaks to you. And I'll tell you, when God speaks to you, you know God speaks to you. And when God speaks to you, this is what he said to me. He says, why don't you just throw your hat in the ring like they want and let me, God, decide if I want you there or not. And if I don't want you there, then you're not going to be the pastor. If I do want you there, then you will be the pastor. And I remember before I went out to the beach with my family, I stayed in the room and I prayed. And I said, okay, God, I'm tired of dealing with this. And I called them right back and said, fine, put my hat in the ring, that's fine. And can I? I'll be honest with you. They brought it down to five, the top five, then the top three, and then they had a bunch of meetings with each of us individually. And I did everything I could to try to ruin it. Everything. And I'm here today, and I wouldn't change it at all. And God, listen, okay. But God used that. Can I tell you, pastors aren't perfect. I should have known better. I should have known to pray. But God had to thump me on the head and say, have you prayed about this? No? You might want to do that. And that's what God does for you and for me. If we pray and if we thank him and we pray continually, not all the time, but throughout the day, there's going to be a change in your life. Just hold on. It's going to be a wild ride. Let's pray. So, Father, right now as we pause, we thank you, God, for this amazing gift of being able to pray and come literally into the throne room of you, God, where you hear, of all the prayers, you hear specifically mine. You hear ours. And I'm so thankful about that. God, you are an amazing God. And thank you for this gift of prayer. Thank you for this gift of coming before your throne. Thank you for listening. Lord, thank you for even speaking back to us and letting us hear what you have to say to us. So, Lord, I thank you for all that you've done. I pray right now for each person that's right now online or in person here today. Will you take whatever prayer they have now and just grow it? Would you help them to grow in their prayer time, to speak to you and to hear from you? Lord, I thank you that you listen to our prayers and that you answer them. It's the way we want or something different or totally else. But Lord, we thank you that you do answer prayer. And Lord, one of the prayers that we always, always pray for is for those to come to know you. And today, right now, there are people online or right here in person that either don't know you or knew you but walked away from you. But Father, today it's time for them to come to you or come back to you. And so, Lord, we pause and we pray. We do what we just talked about. We pray. And we pray right now that you would forgive us of our sins and that you would come into our heart and take up residence in our life and that we would know you. We would be a son or daughter of yours. And we thank you, Jesus, because you and only you can do what we can't do. We can't be forgiven by ourselves. We need a Savior. Thank you, Jesus. So, Lord, I thank you for those that are making that decision right now. We pray this in your amazing name. Amen.